Hello, good morning, and let's get started. Welcome to deploying System Center 2012 SP1 Config Manager and Intune at Microsoft, where we hope to share the Microsoft IT story on how we implemented unified device management, some of the challenges and the learnings that we had, and hope that we can help you implement or give you some of those key takeaways that you probably haven't received in any other session from an IT perspective on how to implement this in your environment. I am Arun Ramakrishnan. I'm a service engineer at Microsoft. So I work with Microsoft IT is essentially our customer, where we run a configuration manager service for them, patching about 300,000 PCs at Microsoft. And at the same time, we're also part of the feature team, System Center Configuration Manager feature team, where we're the largest dog food implementation of the product before it hits RTM. With me, I have Mark Hurley.
Good morning, everybody. As Arun said, I'm Mark Hurley. I'm another system engineer, work on the same team that Arun does. We're glad you came out this morning. I'm guessing you fit in one of two groups. Either you're the hardcore attendees that want to come, or like this gentleman, he's already checked out of his hotel and is waiting to go to the airport. So I'm guessing you might want to take a nap here just before you get on the plane. Either way, we're glad you're here. And hopefully we'll show you some demos today of some of the implementation, the gotchas, things to look for if you're looking at going back to your office and starting to enroll those RT devices that everybody was waiting in line for to pick up.
All right. So our objective, like I said, is to share the Microsoft IT story. So we're IT folks, share our experiences, and share, hopefully that, you know, give you something that you haven't seen in any of the other sessions, because I know there have been multiple other sessions. Show of hands, how many other unified device management sessions have folks in this room attended? So I see about like 10%, 20%. It's not bad.
That's good. Our stuff will all look new then.
Yeah. And what we hope is essentially to share, like, it was a challenge, it was a learning experience even for us. Bring your own device, like, the culture is even new at Microsoft. But what we will hope to share with you is, you know, here's some of the key takeaways, here's some of the challenges that you would potentially encounter with your users, like, you know, it's an intricate experience, like, you know, how do you make sure you're making your users productive and at the same time ensure that, you know, you're enforcing the requisite corporate policies so that you're not compromising any data or the security of your environment. And at the same time, like, you know, how Config Manager and Intune, the combination, helps you win over your users by being able to enforce these, like, providing them these LOB applications that makes them more productive, makes them to be able to work from, like, you know, home, at Starbucks, at TechEd, and at the same time, makes your corporate security team happy by being able to enforce certain policies on these devices. And even, you know, potentially if somebody spent too long a night at Bourbon Street and lost their device, how they can potentially wipe the device and protect their data. So who is this session designed for? Show of hand, how many Config Manager admins do we have in this room? That's about 60%. And how many folks are familiar with Windows Intune, or at least have Windows Intune in their environment today?
One.
So three.
Well, I'll have you come up and answer some questions then. You're the one guy.
And have any folks implemented unified device management in their environment today?
One.
One person. All right. So he can answer any questions that we can. So we also hope, so we're going to show you some of the intricacies and learnings we had for setting up the connector, Config Manager, Intune connector. But from the admin side, Mark's going to show you some of the cool things like you can do distributing applications and for Windows Phone 8 and RT devices. And also we're going to talk about the some of the reporting things, some of the behind the scenes things that are really important for an IT person to know. Like, how do you know that when a user has actually enrolled his device? How do you know what applications are, the usage, how many users have actually enrolled, what devices have enrolled, what devices are accessing what applications. We'll share all some of the behind-the-scenes information that we learned that we hope is useful to you in your environment. So our challenge, our goal actually, was, you know, how do we make our users more productive at Microsoft? You know, everybody is bringing in the latest device. Our enterprises are always behind, a few steps behind the users these days. You know, everybody has the latest iOS or Windows Phone 8 device. So from an IT admin perspective, how do you make sure that you're able to provide all these LOB applications that folks can access on their personal devices and be really productive? But at the same time, you know, do not from a not be able to enforce policies, but from a config manager admin perspective, not have a different admin experience, not have to, you know, have a different experience for managing PCs versus a different experience for managing these modern devices, such as the iPhones or Windows Phone 8s. And from a traditionally in Config Manager, whenever you had like a non-domain joined device trying to communicate with your infrastructure, you had to set up components of your infrastructure on like a DMZ or a, you know, publicly facing, you had to create a DNS registration. Are there any folks who worked with like on the data center side of things in their environment where they've had to set up a server in the DMZ? So you folks are aware of the challenges, right? I mean, you have to work with your security team, you have to get the DNS registrations done, you have to have ACLs put in place, and you have to get a I can tell you from my personal experience, I hate working with the corporate security, like security team that has to, that gets something in the data center. But
yeah, don't tell them that. We love corporate security. I want my password to still work when I get back to work on Monday.
All right. But the cool thing with Config Manager 2012 SP1 and the combination of Intune is we're able to achieve all of this. We're able to natively manage, you know, these modern devices such as Windows Phone 8, iOS, Windows RT. And at the same time, from the admin experience, there is no difference. They're just using the Config Manager console. And from the, you know, the infrastructure admin perspective, I didn't have to set up any servers on the DMZ. All I had to do was set up a subscription. I had to sign up for an Intune subscription, make sure my my CAS or my topmost node hierarchy could communicate with the internet. It did not have to have a public DNS. I just had to plug in the Intune subscription in the console. And from Mark's perspective, he doesn't have to use, like he doesn't have to go and sign in for the into the Intune console to manage modern devices and the Config Manager console to manage PCs. It's all happening in one place. So let's talk about our device scope at Microsoft IT. We're, surprise, surprise, we're mainly dealing with Windows devices. So when we first started, we actually started unified device management as early as last November. And that was right around the time that we had a Windows RT and Windows Phone 8 surge in our environment. Like all Microsoft employees, full-time employees, got the Windows RT, and they got a subsidized plan for Windows Phone 8, so that really surged in our environment. And from an LOB application perspective, we didn't have, again, surprise, surprise, we didn't have a lot of people developing LOB applications for iOS devices. In fact, even more difficult was finding developers who would develop applications for LOB applications for the Android devices within Microsoft. So that's why when we actually did the tried to enforce unified device management or implement unified device management, we did some limited testing on iOS, but we didn't unfortunately find a lot of takers for Android because we didn't really have a lot of LOB applications to incent them with. Let's talk about the setting up the actual connector between the Config Manager environment and Intune. And we'll talk about, you know, what are the prerequisite steps that you need to do it, and so what are some of the key takeaways that we hope to share with you that hopefully you haven't seen in any other session in this tech ed that, you know, will give you key takeaways that hope. If I have to set this up in my environment, this is something I should be aware of. These are some of the prerequisites I should know. So the first thing was we worked with the Microsoft Online Directory Services to provision Intune, the Microsoft IT tenant in the Intune service. In your case, are folks fairly familiar with ADFS and MSODS? If not, MSODS is like an it's like an online cloud-based service which syncs your Active Directory data into the cloud, which can in turn be used by several other online services such as Office 365, Intune. I believe SharePoint Online also uses that information. In order for you to do this in your environment, make sure you if you're the AD guy, then you should probably look up, you know, ADFS and what you need to do to run Directory Sync. If you're not the Active Directory person, then you probably would need to work with that person to say, hey, we need to look at how we set up ADFS and, you know, how do we run Directory Sync in our environment so the AD data from our environment is synced up in the cloud. And the key advantage this gives you is when your users go in to enroll their devices, they can just sign in with their user principal name, which is typically their email address. Like, if I want to enroll my device, all I have to do is sign, you know, rune@microsoft.com and my password, my corporate password, I'm enrolled. So that's a simple, user experience that really, you know, makes it easier for them to enroll and start using the LOB applications that you will publish. We performed a user discovery for the entire Microsoft corporate forest because we were really ambitious and wanted to have, you know, everybody at Microsoft be able to use it at some point. But this depends on how wide you want to have the bring your own device concept in your environment. It's not necessary that from day one you do a user discovery for the entire forest on the Config Manager side. If you want to limit this to a pilot set of users and they're in a security group, you can just discover those users. If you wanted to, say, limit this to a particular department to be able to do first, and you had a way in AD to discover those users separately from others, then you can just do a user discovery for those set of users and set up your requisite security groups. Now, this is an interesting step where you need to set up a DNS redirect. We set up a DNS redirection for enterpriseenrollment.microsoft.com to be redirected to the Intune environment. So that would be the Intune URL, which is manage.microsoft.com. So in your case, you would have to set it up for enterprise enrollment, excuse me, enterprise enrollment dot whatever is your public domain.com. And the key reason behind this is when you're doing the when you're signing up your Windows Phone 8 or your RT device, there is logic already hard coded in there that it will strip out the public domain name information from your UPN and try to redirect you to an enterprise enrollment dot whatever your public domain is. So if I was working for, say, contoso.com, and I had an email, arun@contoso.com, and I tried to sign in with arun@contoso.com, the enrollment would automatically redirect me to enterpriseenrollment.contoso.com. So the key advantage to this is your users don't have to remember any URLs. It's a, you know, a seamless experience for them when they sign in and enroll their device. Because if you don't have this in place, then they're going to have to manually enter in the URL that they would have in order to enroll their RT or their phone or their iOS device. See, other set of connectors, these are device-specific prerequisites that you would need. You need a code signing cert for Windows Phone 8, which has to be a VeriSign cert. So work with your security team or your app team, which typically generates the certificates or manages the certificates in your environment. You need a Windows RT code signing certificate and a sideloading key. So the sideloading key can be purchased from the Volume License Center. And we will talk about later on about, we'll give more details about the code signing certificate for Windows RT specifically, and about the sideloading key and some of the, you know, watch out for this situation scenario, especially with the sideloading key. the iOS Apple Push Notification Certificate. So this is fairly simple. The Config Manager console itself has a button for you to go in and generate a request for the Apple Push Notification Certificate. And then you go into Apple's portal, you submit that data, and it will give you, you can download a certificate from there and provide it back in the Config Manager console. We'll actually show you the Config Manager console a little later on where you can see this information.
And just to interject, one thing to make sure, Apple, you've got to renew that certificate once a year. Make sure whoever initially implements this doesn't use their personal Apple account to log in. You want to create some internal company account that is stored away in case the guy who originally set this up leaves to another team. You would have to renew the process through a new account and reset all of your devices again. So it's one thing to know, make sure you're using a company account when you create that Apple connection.
So key takeaway, if you're not the master of everything in your environment, then you will have to work with other teams, namely your AD team for directory sync and ADFS 2.0, your app team for the VeriSign certificate for the Windows Phone 8, and your security team, because you want to have policies defined on what you want to enforce. Even though that's a later on thing after you enable enrollment, you still want to be able to work with your security team well in advance so they can determine what kind of policies they want to enforce on the end user. So this architecture actually talks about when we first started back in November. Things have changed a lot since then, and we'll talk about that in a later slide of how this fits into our overall environment. But when we first started, we actually built a standalone primary site, and we decided we'll do a virtual primary site just to, from a scale perspective, we were interested in learning how things would work out. So we built a virtual primary site and a standalone SQL server for that, and we have the spec information for that. What we did first was we did, like we talked about, we performed a complete user discovery of the entire Microsoft IT forest and got all the information. And then we worked with our MSODS team to set up the Microsoft IT tenant. So as you see, the data flows in, all the AD data goes in to MSODS. ADFS 2.0 enables us to enforce single sign-on for our users. And this Active Directory data is in turn consumed by Windows Intune. We set up the DNS redirection that we spoke about for enterpriseenrollment.microsoft.com. So when users signed in with their UPN and their password, they were automatically redirected to the right Intune environment. They didn't have to remember any URLs. On the Config Manager side, we set up the Intune subscription and the Intune connector role. So the Intune subscription and the Intune connector role is always set up on the topmost node of your hierarchy. So in this case, we have a flat hierarchy with a single primary site. So the Intune connector and the subscription role were set up on the primary site itself. In case you have a multi-tier hierarchy with, say, a CAS and multiple primary sites, then the connector and the subscription role will always be set up on the CAS. And we applied all the device-specific certificates that we talked about, the Windows Phone 8 code signing certificate. We had the Windows RT certificate and the volume licensing key, or the sideloading key. And from the iOS perspective, we had the Apple Push Notification certificate. So this is how the overall Microsoft IT environment looks like. This is our actual production environment now. So we have a CAS and 5 primary sites. These primary sites are split geographically based on where our user population lives. So you see Redmond 1 and Redmond 2 is where majority of the clients live. So the 5 primary sites that I'm talking about just do the PC management today. And we have about 300,000 PCs. And based on our user population, so we have about 100,000 employees and about another 80,000 contractors that work at Microsoft. And our Exchange ActiveSync data, we determined that we have about potentially 125,000 mobile devices, which is the different Windows Phone 8s or Windows RTs, that folks are going to start enrolling at some point. So considering that most of our primary sites are already running close to capacity and planning for a little bit of, you know, capacity increase as well, we decided to build a dedicated primary site for the device management at Microsoft. So we have a, this is actually live today. We have a dedicated primary site under our main hierarchy for managing the devices, primary site devices, or the modern devices.
And now that's not a requirement for you. The modern devices don't add into the official client count maximum number at a primary site. So if you've already got a single standalone primary, your smaller environment, it's not a requirement for you to go and spin up another site in order to do modern device management. Those clients are not included in the 100,000 client kind of recommended limit for a primary site. For our purposes, though, because we're a global company, you do have to assign a single site that all of the modern devices will report to. So for our management purposes and being able to easily identify all of these new devices, it was easier for us to set up a single primary site that those devices will report to. But again, it's not a requirement for you to do that.
So we have a few screenshots that talk about like how to set up the connector role in the Config Manager console. And I will show, we already have a primary site which has the connector configured, and I will show that information and some of the behind the scenes information in the next demo. But just a quick recap if folks haven't already seen it. It's fairly simple. They're under the administration section of the Config Manager console. You can create the Windows Intune subscription. It will ask you for the subscription ID, or it will ask you for the name of the service admin in your Intune subscription. So whatever information, the account that you provide here in the sign-in portion has to be at least a service admin in your Intune subscription. There's a checkbox down here which says, you know, allow configuration manager to be the authority for managing devices. They probably should not have a checkbox because that's not optional. It will not let you proceed on the wizard if you don't check that.
Yeah, and we've had some people at the booth earlier this week asking us, what happens if I already had an Intune subscription that I was using, and now I've decided I want to go into the hybrid design and connect that Intune tenant to my existing configuration manager site? Unfortunately, once you're managing devices on Intune natively, if you make that connection, you would have to get somebody in the Intune support team to actually do a reset for you in order to stop managing devices through Intune. And those existing devices, you should re-enroll them once your Config Manager connection has been done. So it's something to know, because I guess a few people have been testing Intune standalone. And this is a hybrid scenario. Config Manager becomes your sole management console for the end-to-end solution.
The collection information here is the user collection. So we talked about doing a user discovery, so you need to form a user collection based on the user discovery or the list of users that you want to be able to enroll their devices. And that's the collection ID that, or the collection name that you would provide here. Company name and the rest are pretty self-explanatory. The specify the site code for device management. So in our standalone hierarchy case, it would be the primary site. But in the multi-tier hierarchy, even though this subscription and the connectors being set up at the topmost node, you want to provide the site code information here would be of a child primary site under the CAS that you want all devices reporting to. The next checkbox lets you select which are the devices that you want to enable in your environment. You can actually choose to skip this, just set the subscription up, and come back at a later date and enable any of this if you want. From the iOS perspective, we talked about it asks you for the Apple push notification certificate. For the Windows Phone 8 certificate, the code signing certificate, it's actually going to look for the PFX file, so you need the certificate with the private key information. And you will need to, one thing I should have mentioned before, is you will need to create a app deployment or an app model for the company portal beforehand, and that company portal app model will have to be signed with this VeriSign certificate in order for you to be able to set up your Windows Phone 8 configuration.
And the use of VeriSign certificate is not a config manager requirement. That's a native Windows Phone 8 requirement. So for any apps to be loaded on Windows Phone 8, they have to be signed right now with the VeriSign certificate. So unfortunately, using your own internal root certificate authority is not going to help you with the Phone 8 devices. You will have to get a VeriSign cert.
The Windows RT certificate is actually going to be a child certificate of your, you know, it's going to actually be the root certificate that all your applications, or the certificate that chains to and all your applications are signed with. This is not a public key certificate. This is just a .cr file that you would provide here. And we have a demo later on where Mark will show you how you can generate the, or how you can import the certificate or get the certificate for the RT device specifically, or how we did it at Microsoft. The next key piece, a lot of times I forget this in my environment, that even though you set up the subscription, you need to actually set up the connector role on the CAS or on the topmost primary side before the user data is actually synced up to Intune. And that's a pretty simple process. Like you would install a management point or a distribution point role, you would have to install, you right-click add roles, and it walks you through the wizard for setting up the Windows Intune connector. So let's look at what happens behind the scenes. So I have a primary site with the connector already set up. We talked about if you wanted to create the APN request for Apple, then you would just click on this button over here, and it will let you generate a local request file that you would later, there's a link which takes you directly to Apple's portal, and you would go to that portal, upload that request file, and then you would go back to the portal and download the certificate based on that request file. And in your Intune subscription page, like right now we already have the subscription set up, but I don't have iOS enabled. If I wanted to enable iOS, I just check this check button, and I would browse to that request file that I downloaded from Apple's portal.
And I was noticing at some demos earlier this week, when you're on Apple's website requesting that certificate, there's apparently a strange bug in their page where once you submit your request file and try and enroll for the certificate, it looks like everything's hung and has failed. You just ignore the error message and refresh the page, and it will show you the actual cert file that you then can
download. I have actually experienced this personally where I've tried to upload the request file, and it asks you to download a different kind of file, which is not a certificate. And I kept experiencing this and I thought there was some bug either in the Config Manager product or maybe Apple was just, you know, being mean to us on purpose. But I went back and actually refreshed the page, and I found out that for each request upload that I'd done, there is actually several requests in the Apple certificates in the Apple portal, and you could just download and click and download. So once you upload it, you'll probably have to go in and refresh the page to actually see your certificate requests in there. So Windows RT and Windows Phone 8 we talked about. So the Config Manager collection, or the user collection this is currently looking at, is UDM members. So how do you track that a user, like, you know, if say you added your boss into the user collection, and how do you actually make sure that, you know, your boss is licensed to be able to enroll his device? So to help you with that, there is a log. There's a Cloud User Sync log that comes with the component. The moment you install the Windows Intune connector role, a Cloud User Sync log is generated and a component is generated from which you can monitor how many users have been, you know, whether users have been licensed, are there any failures in licensing users. And on the backend side, you can also do is you can track a database. The user disk table in the Config Manager database will also give you information on whether a user is licensed to use the product or not. So a cloud, there's a column called Cloud User ID under the user disk table, which will have a GUID, a valid GUID value in case a user has been licensed and is licensed to enroll his devices. If the user has never, ever been in the collection that is synced to Intune, then the Cloud User ID will be null. Let's see what happens if I decide to remove a user and decide to add a new user in there. So right now we have test 1 and test 2 are members, and test 4 is null and test 3 is null. So what we'll do is we'll remove test 2 and we'll add test 3 into our user collection.
So again, what this enables you to do is slowly roll out user device management in your environment. You don't have to blanket license all of your users all at one time, so you can pick a pilot team or a test group and only license those people, because what we even saw happening in our environment was a couple of emails would go out to some test groups saying, hey, look, you can enroll your RT in your phone devices now, and lo and behold, they started sharing that email with a ton of other people who said, oh, I want to enroll my device as well. And if we had enabled it, we would have all of a sudden had a ton of devices that we weren't prepped to actually support with help desk and that. So it's good to try and kind of control it at the beginning while you're getting your feet wet with the new device management.
Yep. Let's actually make sure the collection updated. Looks like the collection updated fairly quickly. When did the last sync? So the last sync occurred just 2 minutes ago, a minute ago. So it syncs every 5 minutes. So what we'll do is we'll go back to the session and come back to this in a bit. So this is just a slide. We had a backup slide in case we had any network issues this morning. But this is something you can use for your future reference, where we talk about, you know, the cloud user sync log is critical for you to monitor whether your users have successfully synced and are licensed to use enroll their devices now through your combination of Intune and Config Manager. A delta sync occurs between every 5 minutes. So every 5 minutes, your component will come live and check if there are any new users added to the collection or any users removed from the collection that's licensed in Intune. And if it finds that information, if there's a delta, then that information is updated. And you can see clearly in here, you will see information such as, you know, hey, I found these additional users, or you will say I added these users. Like in the end, you see here, user delta sync, users added, users removed, you will see a value such as this. And we should see something similar in a few minutes where we should see, you know, one user added and one user removed in our log file. So behind the scenes, we talked about the cloud user ID field in the user disk table. This will help you identify which user is licensed. And this is something we're actually looking at, you know, to build reports in our environment so we can more proactively tell users that, hey, you're actually licensed to use. We don't want to be in a situation where somebody receives an email and automatically starts enrolling, even though we haven't added them to collection. We want to be able to, at some point, maybe build a dashboard or build some kind of report where people can proactively look and see if they're, you know, licensed to use this this feature. I unfortunately gave away my trick beforehand, but this is what happens in the different scenarios. If a user has never been licensed, that cloud user ID field will be null. If a user was previously licensed and we removed him from the user collection, the GUID, the cloud user ID GUID, will change to all zeros. And if a user is a valid user and is an active license, he will get a random GUID, a non-zero GUID, that indicates that the user is licensed to enroll his device. So key recommendations, you know, there are some additional components. Like, you know, we obviously don't have enough components to monitor, so there are additional components that you should look at. There's the DMP uploader, which will give you whether Config Manager is successfully, policy is successfully flowing up from Config Manager to Intune. And the DMP downloader, self-explanatory name, which does the other way that, you know, Intune, Config Manager successfully processing data coming in from Intune. And the Cloud User Sync we talked about, which gives you information about how whether users are being successfully licensed in Intune or not. The Delta User Discovery, this is a best practice that we recommend. So when we did our user collection, we set up Delta User Discoveries in Fast Collection, just so that, you know, it keeps in sync with any changes in your Active Directory. Like if you have new users coming in or users moving out of a group, that updates fairly quickly. The sync frequency, we talked about the Cloud User Sync, happens every 5 minutes. We've actually developed a custom report that we talked about based on this user licensing, where we're using the Cloud User ID information to determine if a user is licensed or not in for the Config Manager in Intune. So let's actually go back quickly to our demo. So this is what we talked about. So now you see we removed one user and we added one user. And let's look at the back end on whether we what had previously. So test, we removed test 2 and added test 3. So test 2 should change to, the Cloud User ID should change to all zeros, and test 3 should have a valid Cloud User ID now. There we go. So with this, I hand off to Mark to talk about device enrollment and the company portal.
All right, thanks, Arun. So I'll try and not kill you with too many more slides so we can get some more demos in here. If anybody has any questions while we're going through these, feel free to interrupt. It's really beneficial if you go up to one of the mics to ask the question. That way, in the video recording, people will be able to hear the question that you asked. But we're more than happy to answer anything if there's something you want to know about that we're not already talking about today. So I'm going to give you an example of what kind of infrastructure and I guess enrollments that we had during our beta testing of this. We're currently right now rolling out the R2 release for the first time inside Microsoft, and we're expanding the modern device enrollment to all users over the next few weeks. So these numbers are small compared to what's going to happen, but essentially during our first enrollment, we had about 350 Phone 8 devices and 140 RT devices. Generally, what you're going to see is if you're using Exchange ActiveSync already in your Config Manager environment, so you can see how many users are enrolling in company email on their mobile devices, those are the ones usually you want to try and target. First, they have some form of interest already in using their personal device on your production hierarchy. But if you have no apps to offer them, that's what really is the selling point for us, is we've got internal development teams that are developing modern apps for these devices, and that's what really interests the user, not so much the email piece, but having access to new apps that aren't available on their device currently. So at the beginning, we published approximately 9 LOB apps for Phone 8 and 76 for RT. The reason RT was so much larger than Phone 8 is we were developing modern apps for the Windows 8 desktop for almost a year before we all got our Surface RT devices in the company. And most of the developers can develop these modern Windows 8 apps to be compliant across many different CPU architectures. So they were developing these apps to be supporting RT well in advance of us actually having devices on site. So once we got them, these apps were already available. We also did a couple of deep linked apps. How many people in the room are familiar what deep link app is from Config Manager right now? One, okay, it's two. So what a deep link app is to the user, when you're using the company portal, it looks the same as any other internal app that you've offered them. But in reality, the app is located out on the Microsoft Store. So what happens is, and I'll give you an idea of what it looks like in RT, you see the app in your company portal, say Skype or Link, and when they click on it and ask to install, it will redirect them to the Microsoft company store outside in the cloud and let them install the app from there. This actually takes the load off of you as an admin, having to manage any kind of version control or anything else. You don't have to have content. It's a contentless app. So if you're familiar with building application models in the application node in Config Manager, there's just a wizard to create a deployment type for a deep link, and all you're providing at that time is a link to the external store, and that's how it will get your users out there. So we use Skype and Link internally as apps, but I don't want to have to manage them because they version so frequently, so this gives me the opportunity to give them to the users, and it's kind of hands-off at that point for me. Our final rollout goal in our environment looks something like this. We're not so sure. We'll see how many people are excited about the apps that are offered. But based on, again, like I said, the Exchange Active Service link that we have that's showing how many people have enrolled their devices for email, this is roughly the counts that we're expecting to get. So it's a pretty decent-sized number. Our objective for Phone 8 enrollment was to make sure the user experience was pretty easy and simple. So we made sure we were working with the product team to find out how we can get this done without them having to memorize a bunch of URLs and type a bunch of passwords in. And that was why Arun made the point to make sure, if you can, use the ADFS sync so that your user information from your on-premise Active Directory is getting out into the cloud. You don't have to sync your entire Active Directory hierarchy, just your user information. And that way what happens is the user principal name, which is essentially their email address, is available to use as their login identity. And they don't have to be given a custom Intune-based user account with a separate password that's completely managed independently. They're just using their credentials that they use every day to log into the environment. The other piece we wanted to make sure was they didn't have to go and figure out how to get the company portal. Because it's such a new function, they could find a way to enroll, but then now how do I get my apps? So we made sure on Phone 8, the company portal actually gets pushed down as part of the process. And that's why Arun was mentioning, as part of making the connection to Intune and setting up Phone 8 support, you want to have the app model pre-created with the Windows Phone 8 company portal. And that actual XApp file for the Phone 8 company portal is available on Microsoft download, so you just go out and download it. The only thing you need to do is make sure you sign it with your own company's VeriSign certificate that you're gonna use for the connection before you publish it. If you publish it with the default Microsoft cert that it's signed with, it's not gonna work when the users try and launch it. For implementation in our environment, we developed some enrollment guides. Even though our users are all IT professionals, they still sometimes need some hand-holding. So developing guides internally for yourself with screenshots on each of the steps that they need to do makes it really simple for the user to get this in email and walk through and enroll their device. And we'll make those documents that we created available at the end of the presentation. We'll publish them out there so you can kind of get a framework. You don't have to start this all from scratch. You can just put up some screenshots from your own company's information. We set up a DL also during this demo time frame internally so that the users that were using it could send us feedback and help us collect information on any problems they were having. And this helped us improve the overall process so that when we roll out to a larger group of users in the environment, they won't have the same pain points that these initial pilot users had. So it's something to think about, setting up an internal email DL for it. Again, I'm not gonna beat this to death. These are kind of the pieces that we were talking about, what kind of results we get. I think what we'll do is we'll shoot off to a demo so you can see what it looks like. So we'll switch this up. One more click. Okay. Temporarily, I'm gonna have Arun act as my Vanna White so he can punch in stuff while I chat with you guys. What you're seeing here is a Windows Phone 8 emulator. So if you guys don't have Windows Phone 8 devices available for you for testing, this is something that you have access to right now. If you have a Visual Studio license, you can go out and download the Windows Phone 8 SDK. It's free, and it's just an add-on to Visual Studio. Once you install that, it allows you to develop a Phone 8 application, and part of that is a pre-built virtual device that allows you to launch a Phone 8 emulator, and this is exactly what we're using here. And it performs exactly like a phone, other than you can't make any phone calls, but it'll let you test the whole end-to-end device enrollment process for your environment and install apps and confirm that the apps function. So it's a cool idea. I'm not sure how many people actually heard about this. I'm sure you've seen it in demos, but that's how you get it. You go out and download the Windows Phone 8 SDK.
So in this step, you actually saw it kind of failed, and it prompted me for the server information. This is because we have a demo environment. We don't have a publicly available domain, and we don't have ADFS set up. But if I had ADFS set up, it should just take my email ID and password and go directly from there.
So I'm going to get you to just step back one spot, just so that I can make this clear to everybody in case they weren't sure. I'm sorry for making you type stuff in again.
No worries.
So what happens is the management agent, it isn't like your on-premise configuration manager client. The management agent's already baked into the Windows Phone 8 device. So there's no client agent for you to install. You actually are going to the system page and clicking on company apps, and that's where you start the enrollment process. And with the single sign-on functionality, this is where the users will type in their email address and their current password, and it will enroll their device immediately. In this demo environment, because we don't have that external DNS redirect that Arun was mentioning, we're going to have to type in the actual manage.microsoft.com URL, but you won't have to do that if you set up the DNS redirect externally for your company, which is recommended because it makes it nice for the users. Yeah, I forgot the email address is really long, so it makes it tough, but these touch screen devices are nice. That's the other thing. If you do use this SDK and you don't have a touch screen device, you have to use the mouse to click. It doesn't respond to keyboard typing on the on-screen keyboard for the Phone 8 emulator. So you can see at the top, it's saying that we're looking for your company settings, basically. And with the demo gods on our side, hopefully it will say that it finds them.
And hopefully I didn't put in the wrong information.
And there we go.
Yeah.
And before we click here, the checkbox that says install company app or hub, make sure you make it clear to your users to just leave that checked. If they don't leave it checked, their device is enrolled, and you'll get information about the device, but they won't have the company portable available to them, and they can't get the company portal any other method at this point. It has to happen during device enrollment. So if they happen to uncheck it and they don't get the portal right off the bat, they'll actually have to unenroll their device and go back and re-enroll their device again in order to get it. So now you see it's enrolled, and what we should see fairly quickly, which is really awesome, is the company portal should show up.
There we go.
And it's there already. So you can see how fast that really is. There's not like a lag time between the time your device is enrolled and you get the company portal. The product team's done a real good job. So now we're going to show you what the portal looks like to your users. So I've published a few apps inside the environment so that we can give you an idea of what it would look like. How many people here have developers that are developing Windows 8 or Phone 8 apps internally right now for your companies? We got one. Okay. I'm sure there's lots of people with iOS devices in their environment, and iOS devices, once they're enrolled, get the same idea. There's a company portal app that is part of enrolling your iPhones or your iPads, and so you can have your own internal iPad or iOS apps that you want to present to your users. They'll get this same sort of experience. So this final login is actually logging into the company portal app. So it's not part of enrollment, but you still have to have permissions in order to see applications in your environment. So Arun's going to have to type through the long address again, but that should be the last time. Now, Windows Intune, by default, the company portals, they have a 20-minute timeout. So even though you're checking the checkbox to say, leave me signed in, it's really, leave me signed in while I'm using this app. But if you go away for a couple of hours, it's going to ask you to sign again, and that's just security. So here you see our categories. I just created some categories. Internally, it helps the users try and locate some of the apps instead of dumping them all into a single bucket. So try productivity tools. Let's see what we got in there. Let's try and install MS Time Off. That way I can try and book off all next week. We'll recover from the Superdome party tonight. So what this is doing is basically installing an application just like we do right now on Config Manager on-premise. And you can see that it installed really fast. And if Arun goes back to the main page, we should see MS Time Off. And there it is.
Do you want me to put time in for you?
No, thank you. So let's show a deep link. I believe I published Skype here. Yeah, so here's Skype, and I talked about deep link apps. It looks like any other app that's been published, and if the user clicks on it, it says, hey, do you want to view this in the store? And this is where it redirects them to the company store, and you see how fast that is. There's no real difference in the overall process. We're not going to install it because that means you've got to type in your Microsoft Live account.
We need a Live ID for this.
Not going to do that, but that's it. It's that seamless. All right, let's go back to the slides. These were just screenshots in case the demo gods weren't with us. So some of the things that we needed to do in order to get this all set up so that it was functional was we worked with our app provisioning teams to get some apps. As I see, not a lot of apps being developed right now, but it's something to think about when you go back to your company. And you wanted to make sure that they understood there needs to be a signing process, that VeriSign certificate. You need to sign any app that you're going to publish. The ones that you're deep linking to, you don't have to worry about those. Those function through the Microsoft Store just fine. So we sign the apps, and like I was mentioning, make sure you sign the portal before you publish it. So you're downloading it. It's available for free out on Microsoft Download, but make sure you sign it. Don't publish it as is. And we categorized our apps to make it easier for the users to find the apps that they want. Search function works just the same in the company portal as it does on any other device. So if you search on your RT device or on your Phone 8 device, and I looked for MS Time Off, I would be able to take directly to it inside the company portal. And apps that we deployed, we push them as available, so you can't enforce an application on our RT device. And this is this whole user-centric, user in control. It's their own personal device. They don't want the admins forcing things down onto them. So they're self-service applications. So as a Config Manager admin, most of the time, we tend to do required deployments out to our environment. These ones are sent out as available, and that makes them show up in the catalog. And it gives you the ability, if you want to target collections that are specific to a security group, so if you, say, had a finance app that you only wanted the finance department to see, then you would build a custom collection and target the finance apps only to that collection, and those would show up for the finance users inside the portal. So what did we learn? We had an issue with duplicate UPNs. So this is the user principal name, basically the email address. More than likely, this isn't going to be something that you see in your environment, but it's potential. We've got multiple domains in Microsoft, and we have users who have multiple user accounts within the different domains, same username, but different domain alias. Their email address, which is used for their user principal name, is attached to those accounts. So when we synced our user information into the cloud, we were taking their user accounts twice plus their email address twice. And so there was some confusion as to, I'm this guy and I'm trying to log in, and I'm logging in with the wrong user principal name because it's not the device or the user account that you guys asked me to enroll. So it's something to just consider when you go back to your environment. If you have a test domain or users who have admin accounts or have multiple email addresses, you have to make sure that you help them understand which account they should try and log in with. There aren't a lot of logs right now on the cloud-based service. So Configuration Manager, you still see the logging information that Arun showed you with regards to enrollment, but for enrollment of devices and troubleshooting any kind of application install, the only things that are really available are a portal log that the user can email you from their phone device. There aren't any client-side logs or Intune-based logs that you as an administrator have access to. So it was a little bit of a mind shift for us in order to get used to that, because as Config Manager admins day-to-day, we're used to being in the log files all the time when we're troubleshooting stuff. And so you don't have that same kind of functionality available to you on the mobile devices. We created FAQ docs. We call them smart guides. Basically, any users that were sending us emails complaining about, I don't understand this, or there was some mistake, or how do I do this function, we put together some smart guide docs. I believe we'll make those available too at the end for you, so you can see some of our pain points and help you out. But it's good to give the users somewhere to go so that they're not hitting your help desk up. The help desk will hate you guys if you all of a sudden unleash this on like 90,000 devices and they're getting calls on, how do I launch this app or install this app? Where's the company portal? That kind of thing. So this is useful to send out. As I mentioned, the troubleshooting for app stuff on the company portal can be sent through a log. There's a little link at the bottom that says send logs. So help desk, it's good for them to know to ask users to do that. And the on-demand portal install, as I mentioned, if the user doesn't select it during the enrollment, they're not going to get it, and they'll have to unenroll and re-enroll. Let's talk a bit about RT. How many people got some RT devices this week? Good stuff. They're cool. I've been using mine since November when we got it, and there are some differences between that and an Intel-based PC, but for office-type work, it's awesome, and I've heard some grumblings that the one piece that everybody complained about was Outlook not being available. I saw some threads online yesterday saying they're going to make Outlook available in the 8.1 release, so that's coming down the pipe pretty quickly, which is cool. So the nice thing is once you've licensed a user in the cloud on the Intune service, you don't have to license them for different devices. They have the ability to enroll up to 5 devices, any device they want. So once they're enrolled once, they're enrolled for anything that they're going to bring on site. So RT doesn't need a separate license. The sideloading keys that Arun mentioned, that's a requirement in order for any Windows 8 modern apps to sideload onto the devices. So you need to purchase sideloading keys from your volume licensing site and get those inserted into the Config Manager side of the hierarchy. When the RT device enrolls, it gets a sideloading key pushed down to it, so there's no extra lifting on your side as a Config Manager admin.
What happens when you unenroll and re-enroll the device?
So that's the one catch. When you're testing, each time you unenroll and re-enroll an RT device, it grabs a new sideloading key. So don't be unenrolling and re-enrolling repeatedly for testing purposes, because you're using up your sideloading key licenses that you're purchasing. The user experience for enrollment is basically the same. The same idea. The management agent's already baked into RT. So again, there's nothing that you as an admin are pushing down. There's no client that you have to push down. And the company portal, the only difference is the user has the ability to install the RT company portal at any point during enrollment. There's a link on the enrollment page, and it takes them out to the Microsoft store, and they install the company portal there. So you don't have to worry about signing the portal. It's the default one provided by Microsoft. What we used for publishing our apps was the internal corporate route. So that's the nice thing that's a little bit different about RT than Phone 8, is you don't have to have a VeriSign certificate for your apps. So for your Windows 8 modern apps, you can use your internal CA that you already have. What we noticed was different dev teams inside the company, they have their own child certificates that are based off of the Microsoft internal route. And so they would sign their apps with their own child certificate, which is fine. So what you have to do is make sure that when you publish that certificate in the console as part of setting up the RT enrollment, use the root cert so the child will flow back to the root and be approved for the app to launch. And I'll show you an example on an RT device of what that looks like. And again, we deep linked apps from the Microsoft Store, Skype and Link, to give them to the users. So let's take a look at RT. I have to hit a bunch of buttons. Does anybody have any questions up till now? No, pretty good. Everybody still awake? Breakfast settling in? Okay. So this guy was out on Bourbon Street way too much last night. All right, so this is what the company portal on RT looks like. It's a little bit different than the phone, but the same idea. Apps that you've published to the user are specific to the devices. So that detection is done by the company portal. So you don't have to worry about, hey, do I have to build a custom collection for apps that I'm going to target for phone versus apps that I'm going to target for RT? You can target the apps to the user, and what apps are applicable for the particular device type that they're on, that's what's going to show up to them in the portal. So that's really cool. The one thing you might notice that's a bit different is you see that section called devices. This is something we got feedback from our users, that they were confused as to what exactly does that mean, these devices. What it's doing is showing them what devices they've enrolled. So like I was saying, you can enroll up to 5 devices on one user license. This is just showing me that Arun enrolled the phone and I've got my RT device enrolled. And if the user clicks on this, it's probably going to ask me to log back in again. I gave a 20-minute timeout, so let me log in so I can give you an example of what that looks like. This is a feature, so what we'll see, I'll go back so we make sure it gives you the full experience. So here I'm looking at the phone device that I've enrolled on my RT device, and it gives you a little bit of details on what it is, but you'll notice down at the bottom that it has wipe or remove. You want to make sure that you're telling your users, don't click wipe or remove. That's actually going to do that function against the phone device. If they want to, say they lost their phone and they have their RT device, and hey, I want to, instead of wasting time calling help desk, I want to wipe the phone so that nobody gets my data, they literally can trigger that process through here. So it was something that users aren't used to right now, as using Configuration Manager, Client Management, if something's available to them. But you can see there's still categories. If we go in, you can see there's apps, and it's the same idea. You click on MS Timeoff. I've already got it installed, but it's a very nice user experience. And over time, I think this will just keep getting better and better, the existence of this. What I'm going to show you now, as we go to the desktop here on the RT device, here's an example of where the internal corporate root cert has been pushed down. So as part of enrollment of this RT device, we've pushed our cert that we published in the Config Manager console down to the device so that any of the LOB apps that I install are authorized to launch. So that's a key. You can only push one down. So we actually ran into a problem. Because we were managing Windows 8 devices much earlier than RT, those are all on the corporate internet, we were using group policies to push down these corporate certificates to the desktops and laptops. So we weren't really paying attention too much on what certificate was used to sign our Windows 8 modern app files. What ended up happening is at some point halfway through the cycle, apps were signed with one Microsoft internal root certificate, and a whole other set of apps were signed with a completely different root certificate. Now, on a desktop or a laptop that's on-premise, it had both root certs pushed down, so the apps worked fine. But on the RT device, what we found out, because you can only push one internal root certificate to it, half the apps worked and the other half didn't. So we had to go back and re-sign about 50 apps in order to get them to function for the RT devices. So it's something that you want to keep track of, that whatever you're using to sign your internal applications, make sure it's a child certificate based off the one internal root cert that you're going to use for publishing. For admins, you can see that they've been approved to install trusted apps on a desktop. This is a GPO that you can push on RT. It's not a GPO, so as part of enrollment, it sets up a Microsoft policy in the policies Microsoft Windows APPX directory that basically says allow all trusted apps, sets it to one. So it helps you in troubleshooting. If some user's complaining that they can't install an app, it's something that you want to make sure that that policy has been set up. And for people who are familiar with playing around in WMI on systems, you still have WMI available to you. And if we go in here and we enumerate the MDM section of WMI, and I'll mess around with this touchscreen, what you're looking for is MDM sideloader. And what that's going to show you is if the sideloading key has been obtained by this device. And you can see that it says there's a sideloader key equals one. That's what you should expect to see there. That means this device has a sideloading key and should be able to install apps. Let's go to the desktop system here. And I'm going to show you, this is the same hierarchy that Arun was working off of his laptop. Just to drill it in to everybody, this is where you're installing that root cert for RT. So essentially, it's just a browse, point it to the certificate file that you've exported, and import that. And once you've done that, that's all you have to do. You're not doing it repeatedly. You should never change this. You want to keep that certificate the only one that you're using. Feel free to sign apps with other child certificates. And I believe I've got an app on the desktop here. I can show you what we're talking about with regards to apps. So here's a modern app. This is showing that it's signed for any CPU. So that means it'll work on x86, x64, RT. There's a digital signatures tab. And what we can see is Microsoft Corporation internal use only. Now that's the child cert that we're using in order to sign our apps. And if you look at the cert path, this goes back to the Microsoft internal corporate root, and that was the certificate I showed you in the cert manager on the RT device. So again, you can sign the apps with any child certificate that's based off of that one root that you've published, but that's the key. You just want to make sure that that happens. So back to the deck. So here's some lessons we learned with RT. We mentioned every re-enrollment reuses a side-loading key, so try and do that sparingly. User-initiated unenrollment, it doesn't remove the company portal. It doesn't remove the line of business apps that they've installed, but it does remove the certificate and the allow trusted apps, which means they can't actually launch the apps. So it's not messing around with their device. It's not a wipe. But if they unenroll, they basically just can't use the apps that they installed while they were enrolled. So if you unenroll them remotely, same behavior. As we said, the company portal user experience is a bit different between the two. So that's something you want to put into your help documents or notify help desk about. And Windows RT is not quite as fast as the Phone 8 with regards to getting policies. So in order for RT to be very power efficient and try and have a longer battery life, they basically don't do a lot of unneeded maintenance tasks. So unlike the Config Manager desktop client, which can go and check for changes back at its management point, every 60 minutes is usually the default most people leave it at. RT device doesn't do that same functionality because that would mean it's always got the wireless active, it's always pulling back, it's using process, it's going to take up power, it's going to drain the battery life quicker. So what they do is they have a maintenance window generally at 3 a.m. It's the default one out of the box. It's not something that you set. If the device is plugged in and connected to the internet or wireless connection even on CorpNet, it will run a task that allows it to go back and check for policy. Technically, if you've got this thing in your bag and it's turned off, it's only going to do the basic maintenance checks to make sure security patches and stuff are there, but it's not going to update any changes in the policy. So if you've pushed a policy to it, it's not going to get to it at 3 a.m. After a few days, if it keeps missing that cycle, then it forces it. Whether it's on battery or plugged in, it's going to force it. So it's just something as an admin to be aware of. If a user is saying there's something not being pushed down to their RT device, it could be that they're just missing those maintenance windows. So settings management, because we're running out of time, I'll go through this quickly. This is essentially desired configuration management for your devices. Are people familiar with desired configuration management in CM? So, good. This is basically your way to push policies onto your devices. So, one of the things that you want to do is make sure that you're not sending different policies than, say, the Exchange admins are already enforcing on devices. So sometimes when a user enrolls their mail on these clients, there's already policies pushed down to make sure that they have a specific number, PIN password, or encryption or something. You want to make sure that you work with them and set your policies up in your environment so that they match. You don't want somebody who enrolls just for email to have a completely different user experience than somebody who enrolls and wants to get apps. You want to try and make those seamless. We've got a chart up on our deck here that shows you what our settings are. These may be okay for your environment, but you really want to go back and confirm with your internal team that these are the settings that you want. We've talked about most of these things, and I want to show you guys the demo, so it's more important that we go to the demo. These slides will be available to you after the presentation. But one key note on here is, use the defined RBAC role, so role-based access control in Config Manager. Make sure you don't let every admin in your environment have the ability to wipe devices or retire devices, because somebody's going to wipe some executive's device, and they're going to be really ticked off, and it's a very career-limiting move. So what you can do is set up role-based access control so only specific admins or a specific account can be used to log into the Config Manager console and wipe or retire devices. It's something that's pretty important. So before I talk about reports, I'll quickly switch back to this machine and show you how to enforce these policies. So we're back on our Config Manager hierarchy here, and it's just like natural desired configuration management. You set up policies just like you would for your desktop devices. And you can see there's quite a bit of different compliance-based rules that you can select in your CI. And what I'll do is I'll show you how to quickly build one of these out. Not Mac OS, we'll choose mobile device. And let's say we want to set password and encryption policies. Here I'm going to tell them, hey guys, you need to have at least a minimum password length of 6. And I'm going to let you keep that password for 60 days and then you're going to be forced to change it. One thing to take note, remediate non-compliant settings, make sure this checkbox is checked. If it's not, all you're going to do is evaluate if the device has the policy, but you're not actually going to enforce the policy. And that checkbox is done on each of the screens as well as when you deploy it. Here, we can't do storage encryption on that, so we'll choose, I want my device to be encrypted. This is where you can choose what devices you want to enforce these policies on. The nice thing is, if you leave them all selected, it tells you the devices that those specific policies won't be supported on, so you can kind of just set this up and expect to target it to your devices and not have to worry about selecting each individual one. Once you've got a CI set up, you're deploying this through a baseline. So people that are familiar with that, let's go in here, deploy. We'll say we'll add the RT. This is another, again, the checkbox, remediate non-compliant rules when supported. You need to check that checkbox if you want these policies to actually be enforced on the devices. If you don't check it, all it's going to do is evaluate, is the device compliant to those policies I've requested, which you'll see in console, but it won't actually enforce it. And then we've created collections based on the devices that come in. these collections can be created. There's a new field under a system disk that's a numeric-based identifier that shows you what's an iOS device, what's an RT, what's a Phone 8. We'll give you that information at the end online, but essentially you can create custom collections, so then you target your baseline to the appropriate devices. With that, we'll switch back to the slide deck quickly. So out of the box, app deployment, DCM, everything's the same for you as a config manager admin. There's no custom changes where the unified devices are reporting their app installs differently or their DCM compliance settings differently. You use all the same reports that you've been using up till now. So there's nothing new that you have to develop. The only thing we developed that was custom and different was we created some custom reports internally to know what devices were enrolled. So it made it easier for our management to go and look to see what devices actually were there on site. Again, we can share those reports at the end of the session with everybody if you're interested. And as I said, the rest of it, out-of-the-box reports, in-console monitoring, it's all the same. I'm going to hand this over to Arun to knock out the last learnings.
Let me repeat that. It's a different user experience from Windows Phone 8, Windows RT, iOS from an end user perspective. So one of the things we did is when we reached out to users, hey, it's open for enrollment, we actually built a strong enrollment guide saying, this is the steps that you need to follow for Windows Phone 8. These are the steps you need to follow for Windows RT. And we'd encourage that you do the same. Help desk awareness, a very important scenario, because you don't want to overload your help desk. It's a learning experience for everybody. So we actually created support documentation for training, and some of the documentation we actually have uploaded to a SkyDrive that's going to be available after this session. Common escalations from users. So we had a support DL based on which we were getting user feedback, and based on that user feedback, wherever we saw that the same kind of feedback was coming through, we generated FAQs and support documentation, and we recommend that you do the same in your environment. And the status of unified device management, so we're building a custom dashboard based on some of the data points that we showed you, like, you know, some of the out-of-box reports and some of the cloud user IDs, one good example of some of our learnings, where we're building custom reports that we can build a dashboard off of that not only our users, but also our management can consume and understand, and potentially even security, and understand how users are enrolling, how the bring your own device concept is working in your environment. So in review, we hope that we shared some key, at least some, you know, some tips and tricks that we learned, or some key takeaways that will clearly, like, you know, what we want to do is go, if you're not an SP1, go implement SP1 now. If you don't have an Intune subscription, sign up for it and get unified device management implemented in your environment. These are a couple of other sessions that two really smart guys are doing. That's us. So please, one's already done, but you can watch the video online. It's available on Channel 9. And the other one is at 1 p.m. this afternoon.
Yeah, if we didn't bore you enough yet with the Windows Intune talk, feel free to come to this afternoon. If you've got some other questions you want to ask, we're going to talk more about some modern device stuff that we're doing.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about, like, other features in SP1 that we as Microsoft IT evaluated and what we thought we could implement in our environment, what we thought was not a good fit for our environment. And these are some of the custom slides that we're supposed to share. Please do fill out, very important news, you know, fill out the ComNet evaluation so you get a chance to win an Xbox. And you can scan this code for your phone so that it will give you, take you specifically to the feedback evaluation form for this session. And we look forward to your feedback, and thank you.